Cavs Celtics tonight, the game of the century. Cavaliers coming to this one 15-0, looking to make it 16-0, hopefully on their way to eclipse the Golden State Warriors and their all-time record of starting off the season 24-0. The Celtics 11-3, but defending world champions, and rightfully so. Got a hell of a basketball team over there. Tonight, a very big matchup. Neither team has played a tremendous schedule to start things off. I know Boston fans went after Cleveland fans. Cleveland fans went back and said, oh, wait a minute. Now we're still higher than you, even though we're both kind of near the bottom there. So let's figure out the truth here and whether or not we get our respect tonight against the Boston Celtics. Dan Shaughnessy joins us from the Boston Globe. Dan, thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, nice to be here. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. So what's the level of excitement for this game in Boston tonight?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't measure this too greatly. It's people are aware, and the Celtics haven't had that many interesting games, and they don't have that many interesting games. There's only four teams in the East playing 500 ball or better, and that's disappointing. I mean, obviously, you know, Milwaukee and Philly have had horrible starts. You know, teams they always consider kind of competition. The Knicks came here for the opener and got beat by like 1,000, so they're not taken seriously still. So, yeah, I mean, they're looking for competition, and the playoffs last year didn't provide much. You guys made a nice showing in the conference semifinal and beat them thoroughly one time. That's all I look for is competition. So I think we got some tonight. That's the great news, is that you got an undefeated team coming in. So there's awareness of that. And I made a note of it over the weekend, and Gary Washburn's got a full-blown column in the Globe about it today. But the column's inside. It's not, you know, out front. We still got, you know, Gerard Mayo screwing up the game Sunday and Red Sox going after Soto, we think. Pedroia going to the Hall of Fame. Bruins getting smoked again last night by the Columbus Jackets. So, I mean, it's not a big event here. It is not. And it's also got that goofy statue of the NBA Cup thing going on. So you're going to see, you won't see the parquet floor. You'll see this goofy green floor and all this contrived stuff that the league likes now.
Well, I didn't know it was a cup game, Tone. That adds an entirely different spin.
Oh, yeah, Tuesdays and Fridays, right?
Oh, my goodness, you're right. I forgot it was a cup game. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dan, is that bad?
That makes me like that makes me like you even more, the fact that you're unaware of this stupid thing. Well, so you just went way up in my estimation.
Now, wait a minute. Now, hold on, Dan. Let me ask you this question, because now you're going to think a lot less of me here. You might hang up. We bandied about that if the Cavs were to win the in-season tournament or the NBA Cup, as it's now called, we hang the banner, but not just hang the banner. We put the banner in place of Nate Thurman's banner here at the arena in Cleveland. Let me add this caveat. I can hear you groaning already. Let me add this caveat. We had the late, great Nate Thurman on the show years ago, like right before he died, actually, and he was hoping that Golden State beats the Cavaliers, where his jersey is retired in both buildings. So it's not the best, warmest, fuzziest memory ever. Dan, your thoughts?
I love Nate Thurman. Anything Nate Thurman says is okay with me. So if he was, I would keep his face of honor at all, any venue that has chosen to do that. He was a wonderful player and underrated because he played in the time of Chamberlain and Russell. It's tough for him to get a lot of attention.
The average 5 points a game playing for the Cavs. Dan Shaughnessy joining us right now on the hotline. Is that bad for the NBA that we're sitting here not even knowing this was a cup night and this is year two and LeBron won it in year one to sort of validate the whole experience?
Yeah, anyone who wastes any amount of time talking about it or trying to figure out what the rules are or advancing in pool play, I mean, it's a complete waste. I'm sure it's directed at young people and soccer fans and trying to carve out a bigger global audience. It's not for us, and I'm okay with that. Knock yourself out. I'm not aware of anyone who's interested in it.
All right, so this is the defense of last year's world championship from the Boston Celtics, and along the way, they had this series with the Cavs where, on paper, all right, it was, a gentleman's sweep. You did see Evan Mobley kind of come alive at the end of the series, but kind of felt like the Celtics, when they wanted to put their foot on the gas, they were able to do that. Is there a chance that Cleveland, Boston, this could be a burgeoning rivalry between these two teams with as good as the Celtics are and with the up-and-coming young upstart Cavs?
I hope so. I mean, I'm looking for it in the East. I don't see it. I mean, I always had hope for Philadelphia, and I'm just tired of them now. You know, it's the same old stuff this year. It's even worse. And the Bucks are on the decline, as we know. So, you know, you got the Pacers maybe going in the right direction. You guys certainly go in the right direction. And I welcome that. I just want competition because I enjoyed it more when the Celtics were playing the Lakers in the finals, you know. And, you know, the good old days of the 80s when the NBA was better, that sort of thing. But I just like competition. The Celtics had a 16-3 run in the playoffs last year, and it was way too easy. And it, I don't know, it's still a championship. It's great. But I like those close games they used to have with the Sixers or the Bucks or the Pistons or whatever. And we didn't see much of that at all last spring.
Do you not like the product that the NBA is putting out there right now, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I like the playoffs, and you know, I like watching individual talent. And, you know, it's I don't set my watch by it. It's just I wait for the playoffs, and there's an element of that for sure. And this Boston team, you know, I want to see them get pushed, and they're really good, and they have great rotation and good depth. And Brad Stevens done a great job, and Zoe's done a great job, and you know, Brown and Tatum kind of came into themselves last year. Horford's still playing well. The guards are spectacular. You know, White and Holiday, they're great defenders. I mean, Pritchard's playing really well off the bench. Porzingis hasn't even played yet. That might give him some minor league ball running up and down to get back in shape. They're going to be very careful to bring him back so that he's ready for the playoffs, which is all they care about. But, yeah, I just like to see him get pushed a little bit more. And yeah, I mean, again, all the old-timers are not in favor of this game versus, you know, the rollerball of the 80s and 90s. With every jack of threes these days, so but that's evolution. That's the way the game's played, and I understand that, and I accept it.
Well, it's weird because I mean, we wanted parity so much for a long time. In my generation here, Dan, we wanted parity because, and even you know, we had LeBron, so it felt like LeBron was the only chance we had to look at it. And it's like, okay, well, if we were able to beat the Celtics, now all of a sudden we would have a look at it. Everybody's aiming for you, but if you're a Celtics fan, you look around the league. You are kind of going, okay, who do you take seriously? Maybe you take Cleveland seriously in the Eastern Conference. Okay, Oklahoma City, maybe you take them. Other than that, yeah. I don't know. There's not a whole lot of, hey, there's a big team over here. There's a big team over there, which it still seemed to be that way during the super team era. Now with the second apron and all the other things that they've done to get rid of that and add parity, it seems like it's almost watered down in a way.
No, I agree with that. I think that's a really good summary of what we're seeing. And again, not having the super teams. And I mean, the Warriors came in here. They only had one loss, and they overcame a 7-point deficit and beat the Celtics on their floor, you know, last month. So that's a sign that there's still a little bit of breathing going on there. And as you know, you mentioned the Thunder. I thought Denver last year would have been a way better matchup for the Celtics in the finals. Denver beat them twice during the regular season. No one else did that. And, you know, but, you know, Murray got hurt and they were beaten by Minnesota, who was beaten by Dallas, and there you have it. So all you can do is beat who's there in front of you. I understand that. But, yeah, I do miss, you know, the old rivalries and you know, loading up. And I'm hopeful that your guys can represent really well tonight and beat them, whatever. They need a little humbling around here. And for you guys to go 16-0, that'd be kind of cool. And I was surprised you're already past. The Celtics never did that. They went 14-0 with Russell's second team after they won the championship back in 57. But that's a great start, and not to be understated. I think it's really hard to do that in today's NBA. So with the back-to-backs and load management and all the stuff, so you guys should be darn happy with that. And I'd be thrilled if they came in here and won a close one tonight. That's fine with me. Let's get this thing going.
His latest book, Wish It Lasted Forever, Life with the Larry Bird Celtics. It is available on Amazon. Dan Shaughnessy joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You were talking about where the NBA is now. And yes, it seems like, you know, older fans always tend to prefer when they were growing up watching the sport. The Celtics right now, this is just incredible. They are shooting 51 three-point attempts per game. I went back just because you're on the air, and I thought you would look back fondly at maybe this era. The 1985-86 Boston Celtics. You enjoyed watching them, correct?
I think it's the best team the NBA ever had.
Well, that's why I chose them. Do you know how many three-point attempts they had per game? Again, 51 this year under Joe Mazzulla as head coach. Do you know how many it was in that year?
I'd be surprised if it was double figures.
It was 4.8 per game. In
I
fact,
guess three.
Larry Bird averaged 2.4 three-point attempts per game. Did they not know math back then, Dan?
And they had guys who could do it. I mean, you know, Ainge was a marksman. Jerry Seasting was. Scott Wedman, you guys remember him. He scored 10,000 points for the Cavaliers. So they had guys who could make that shot. Just nobody took it. I mean, we're never going to see McHale take one of those. I mean, forget that.
So what do you think the NBA, because they've been talking lately and the commissioner has admitted there has been a drop-off in ratings, certainly regular season games. That's why they attempted to do the cup. But do you think the three-point shooting, the lack of variance of the way the game is played, basically every team plays faster than and shoots more threes than the Warriors team in 2015, 2016. So where do you think the NBA needs to go from here? Is it something that needs fixing?
I don't know how you legislate it. I mean, it's, you know, if this is clearly analytics and metrics, and, you know, we all understand the percentages, you know. If you can make fewer threes, but you still score more points than if you're taking more twos. It's just math. And they've all figured that out, and everybody's going for it. But it's not aesthetically pleasing, as opposed to, you know, the old backdoor, give and go, the white picket fence, all the old bastard stuff that that we like so much. So I understand that it's math, and it works. And these guys here in Boston, they're not embarrassed about it. This, and Missoula will look you right in the eye with those crazy eyes and tell you, no, this is what we do. So the only thing they want a layup or a three. That's it. Everything else is it didn't evolve the way they were looking for. And that's just, you know, if you watch the women's game today, it's more like the men's game from 30 years ago with, you know, those kinds of, you know, plays, pick and rolls, give and goes, all that stuff, and just ball movement and player motion. Instead of five guys standing around the perimeter jacking three. So, but again, I don't bay at the moon about this. This is the reality. This is what you're going to see. But it's one of the reasons, yeah, there's less interest in watching regular season than playoffs when you get a lot more stakes in the line. And then you pack on load management to that and people paying big dough for games and not seeing star players. That's no fun. So, yeah, it's you know, I mean, Adam Silver lives a charmed life. They don't really criticize him much. But I think it's a little bit of an issue. But young people still really like this product, and they're good on social media, and they work hard to be a global product, which they are. So good for them.
Dan, we thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Enjoyed it. Keep Nate Thurmond out there, man. We'll
consider it, Dan. Thank you very much for the time. Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
The point there about, you know, a bunch of guys just sitting around jacking threes, that's really not what the Cavs are doing. The Cavs'
no, they're not.
Ball movement has been incredible. I've seen some of the next-gen stuff and the way that the basketball wonks kind of break down what the Cavs are doing, and it's almost maniacal.
Kenny
Atkinson, how he has these guys playing.
I think tonight, even good or bad, you're going to be annoyed by the Celtics. I mean, if you're throwing up that many threes, and considering how the Cavs play, I think that a lot of people are going to be annoyed. Like, really, this many threes in a basketball game, you're going to be taking this. Like, I'm sorry.
It's almost 13 a quarter.
When you watch Cavs.
One a minute, like, is what they're doing.
It's not like the Cavs are trying to play old back them down to the rim basketball,
yeah,
or old bastard stuff the way that Dan Shaughnessy just said. But, again, there's ebb, there's flow, there is this artistry to the pass that what they try to do with the Cavaliers. I think with the Celtics, I think a lot of people are going to go, not what I anticipated seeing.
So we're taking 37 a game. And we are shooting as the most efficient of any team in NBA history right now. The Celtics, this is how they can just bludgeon you. If they are on, it's almost impossible to see a scenario where if they have one of their on three-point shooting nights, and that's why, you know, you want Wade, you want Okoro to be able to come out. Even LeVert has played well defensively this year. You want those guys to at least contest and to get into the chest of some of these shooters, because if they are open, once that stuff starts hitting, especially at home, you know, we have the Cavalanche thing going on.
Yeah.
What they have in Boston when their three-point shot is on is like something impossible to defend.